This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hello, handsome.
You feel good, just say it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm ready to fire everyone.
Stephen A. said Kawhi's the biggest fake superstar. No, right now, Tatum is the biggest fake superstar.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst. Coming up, co-creator, writer, and star of Ted Lasso, Jason Sudeikis. Rams general manager, Les Snead. Seahawks general manager, John Schneider. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yeah, hey everybody, it's hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. And in case you're just joining us, in the first hour, great chat with Brian Windhorst, the worldwide leader in sports, talking about the NBA playoffs. And also, as I get set for the NFL schedule release show tonight at 8 Eastern time on NFL Network, I'm in a mood. I'm in a mood because it happens every year, and I should expect it, you know, when we're asked to keep it quiet when we get the schedule in advance on NFL Network so we could plan a terrific show for you. At 8 Eastern time, it just gets leaked. There's loose lips everywhere. And it's sinking ships. It's sinking ships.
What ship is sunk?
I don't know. It's my, you know what it is? It's my hopes. All right. My hopes of my hopes of better angels. You know? The better angels.
I don't know what that means.
I'm just like the hopes.
Because Rich tries to do the right thing.
I do.
And then it upsets them when other people don't do
it. I do.
Right.
And then this was the first time I was asked to sign a document.
That's ludicrous.
And you know, I would say they're looking for Red October in the wrong place.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
What if you
it's
would refuse?
Because there's been a lot of pings.
It's not the Grand
Banks. There's
been
a lot of pings on the Twitter. Oh, forget it. Nobody cares. Good to see what you've got in front of you, TJ Jefferson, in advance of our second hour guest. Jason Sudeikis is coming here. You got your AFC Richmond Lasso jersey, do you? Yeah, is that what you got? Is it an AFC Richmond?
Dubai. This was the Dubai Airways.
Ah, okay. Very good. Yeah. So good that I'm glad that you have your...
That's cool.
Your Lasso jersey. I just saw the latest episode of Ted Lasso. Susie and I, literally, as soon as it hits the Apple TV Plus app, we're like, okay, kids, you're going to sleep early tonight.
Good night.
Although Zan, my 14-year-old, is watching. He loves it. We love it.
Great.
Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso himself is coming in here. We got a great celebrity true or false for him in advance of yet another big slick. I wonder if he'll be able to make it this year.
Since, hopefully.
Yeah, in Kansas City in support of children's. I'm trying my best to free myself that weekend, first weekend of June.
I'm on dad duty.
I know you guys said that you guys have gone multiple times, but we all actually went once.
Is one because we did our shows from
it
there
was
one year.
Such an amazing, like what those
guys do
is, if you guys don't know about it, look it up. Donate if you can. It's just such an amazing thing.
It's a quintet of Kansas City or the state of Kansas or Missouri individuals, Jason Sudeikis and Paul Rudd and Eric Stone Street and Rob Riggle and Dave Koechner all together. And they raise money for Children's Mercy Hospital, which is a children's hospital there. And you know, that's a concept near and dear to my heart with St. Jude. And they raise multiple millions every year now.
Last year, top $3 million.
Unbelievable. At any rate, Jason Sudeikis is making his way here. And what Windhorst talked about at the top of his part of our conversation, Anthony Davis is being checked out, one would believe, today. And even if he is not yet in the concussion protocol, he could be by tonight because symptoms sometimes take a while to materialize. And also part of the testing he was explaining. Look, in the NFL concussion protocol, everyone pays attention to that. Everybody talks about it because they're assuming the NFL is not doing the right thing. Let's be straight up and honest about it. And I tell you, I know multiple people in the NFL offices in New York City who wring their hands over a player suffering a concussion and putting together the proper protocols to make sure that they are not only safe but kept off the field when they need to be. And I understand a lot of people do not believe that to be the case, but trust me, it is. And I'm assuming that there is a bunch of such similar people in the NBA.
Yeah.
Remember Draymond hit his head on the court in game 4?
Yeah, I thought he was out. Hear his head get smack off the court.
I mean,
that was really bad.
Honestly, I thought, my gosh, and he came back in and...
I was really surprised they didn't take him out to check him for that. Cause
I think they did take him out for a brief bit. I don't know. He came back in. He was shot. He had to shoot free throws, I think.
But you could literally, the mics caught, like,
I saw that. I saw that. Yeah. And Anthony Davis, Chris Haynes said, was in a wheelchair with a towel over his head. Now, that sounds like a concussion.
Yeah.
As he was being taken out of the arena or back to the locker room.
And it's easy and then for after the game, he said, him, but...
after the game, well, I mean, after the game, he was said that it was said that he was feeling better or feeling okay and he's not in the concussion protocol. And Windhorst made mention of the fact of the inside the NBA. As you know, they have had issues with Anthony Davis's availability.
A lot of fun.
Street Clothes was the name. One of the best nicknames I've ever heard Charles Barkley deliver on somebody. But this is a different ball of wax when you're talking about the head. And as Windhorst said, everything's out of his hands. He could be walking around saying, I'm playing Friday night. And then he takes a test and the baseline says, no, you're not. The baseline of the testing from the earlier part of the season. So the NBA now has a concussion protocol conversation happening right now. And we'll find out because what a difference maker when he is playing the way that he has been playing over the last 2 weeks with LeBron and with, by the way, you know, Schroeder has been playing his head off. He's been playing much better than D'Angelo Russell. Much better. Rui Hachimura has been terrific off the bench. Austin Reeves, man.
Austin Reeves has been awesome.
This team has really been playing at a very high level, and the coach is coaching his head off. They are really playing excellent basketball, so I do hope Davis is back for the obvious reasons about his own personal health, but for this team. They need him because they're going to go back to – otherwise, they're going back to a Game 7 and the Game 6 that is on the line on tomorrow for tomorrow night, and we'll discuss it obviously more on Friday's program. Hey, the Warriors have won a road game in 28 consecutive playoff series. That is a record I don't believe we're ever going to see broken. I'm wondering what's the next streak. What's the next highest streak, such streak right now? I don't know what it is.
Got to think of a team that's been in the playoffs.
You know, I would bet you
recently.
It's the Miami Heat. Although, I don't know, can you include the bubble? Like, I guess they're technically a road team in one of those games.
Maybe.
I don't know. But the Miami Heat would probably be... an organization I would peg there, right?
Maybe Milwaukee.
Could be your Celtics, too.
Maybe. But
that's
probably at like five.
How many,
it might be single digits.
The Heat had 23 straight from 11 to 20.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how... that is amazing. I'm just talking about a current streak now.
Yeah.
Because if the Warriors don't extend it to 29, they're out. It's over.
It's over.
And so here we go. All eyes on Anthony Davis staying in the road area. I mean, staying in the Bay Area. Pardon me.
Yeah, we are.
Last night at an event in San Francisco, the coach of the 49ers, his name is Kyle Shanahan, he spoke about his quarterback situation. By the way, one of the games that we did here legally approved, announced prior to the schedule release.
Tell you.
As we did find out when the Eagles and the 49ers are playing each other. As you know, my power rankings yesterday of top of the 10 games I'm looking forward to seeing released in the schedule. And it's week 13. I love this timing of 49ers and Eagles because what they are hoping for out of this game, San Francisco at Philadelphia,
is
in
like
week 13.
9-2 versus 9-2.
They are hoping, that this is potentially for a home field advantage marker that can be placed down in January, earned in week 13. This is, by the way, week 13 is the week after Thanksgiving. So they are, I love that. Let's get something nice and late in the season. Let's hope everybody is healthy. And of course, the 49ers will be on their fourth quarterback by that point in time. Which is, well, I mean.
Did they draft someone this year?
Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Let's
talk about the elephant in the room. Because again, Brock Purdy, they're expecting him to be back by training camp. This is what, by the way, Coach Shanahan said last night at this event. It's in the name of Dwight Clark, who, as we all know, passed away. the great tight end of the San Francisco 49ers. And he was talking on the stage. He gave about a half an hour of his time talking about the 49ers. They expect Purdy to be back by training camp. Obviously, Sam Darnold is there. And the question is, what about Trey Lance? Rumors galore that Lance, they were, again, taking calls on him. They weren't making them. Big difference between making and taking phone calls. So they were taking phone calls on Lance. And as we all know, Lance is still on the team. And I knew, look, if they're going to trade Trey Lance, it's going to be much later in the summer when they know what's going on with Purdy and what Sam Darnold looks like. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if they're going to trade Trey Lance, because right now the coach, in talking about Lance coming back from injury, not just with the ankle, but he had a hand injury going into last season, that he believes this kid is as healthy as he's been in a long time. And listen to how he refers to him. He refers to him as the best one that they currently have right now on the roster.
I think Trey's the best that we've had him right now. And yeah, we got to get in OTAs and practice, but when you just watch his feet, his timing, how he's throwing the ball, he's in such a better place now than he was last year at this time. And I know he's coming off a big injury, but it's because he was healthier this year. Even though last year was a little injury with a hairline fracture on the pinky, but it healed the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And this year, it's a bad break on the ankle, but it healed right, like most of them do. And now I just see him in such a better place. And now we'll present to him some football and stuff when we get to OTAs. We're allowed 9 of them. And we'll put players out there and we'll see how he's playing. We'll let them in Sam roll. And then we'll evaluate all that. And we'll take 40 days off and we'll see how we want to lay it out in training camp.
Let him and Sam roll. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Here's what's so damn unique about the San Francisco 49ers. When you draft a kid third overall by trading up 2 first-round picks in future drafts to go get him, and he hardly plays for you, that normally means coach and general manager are history.
See ya.
But instead, what do? They made 2 straight NFC championship games without him.
Crazy.
And normally, that team that makes 2 straight NFC championship game appearances will absolutely have the quarterback who took them there as their quarterback coming into the following season to see if they can make a 3rd straight NFC championship game and, heaven forbid, the Super Bowl, especially if the guy who took them to their previous Super Bowl was the quarterback who took them to one of the NFC championship games and played so damn well that they were positioned to make it with a kid they chose in the last pick in the draft that they were forced to turn to. And he's now starting for the Vegas Raiders. And the kid that they turned to might not be the starter because he's coming back from injury. And so the kid that they start might be the kid that they went and moved up to draft 3rd overall. And if it doesn't work out, they'll go to the kid they draft last overall last year. It's unbelievable. There is no charted territory for us to base any opinion on it other than the fact that the coach knows what the hell he's doing. And so does the GM, because this team is so incredibly talented that, well, they drafted a kicker in the 3rd round. And tons of people batted an eyelash. And the way I was pushing back is, well, I know the kicker. He went to Michigan. He's the best kicker Michigan's ever had. His name is Jake Moody. And you're set up everywhere else. You're set up absolutely everywhere else. So, unbelievable situation. There's no precedence for it. So, you know what they're going to do? They'll take the kid Lance. They'll roll him up with Sam Darnold, another former 3rd overall pick that they now have on his, 3rd team. And see how it works in OTAs. Take 40 days off. And see you in the morning.
Rock and roll.
Of training camp.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Let's take a break. We're going to take a break. Oh, we're not taking a break just yet? Okay. Jason Sudeikis is here. Very good. That's what I'm saying, man.
Fantastic.
You want to know who the Jets are playing week four? I mean, I could tell you.
Was it announced by an NFL partner?
Define partner. Yeah.
What's partner?
Whoever is broadcasting the game or the NFL network, those are the people who are allowed to say this. You understand what I'm saying?
People that have
Panthers home opener.
Otherwise, I will not entertain this information sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Granger here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network.
CJ Stroud's going to wear number 7.
With supplies and solutions for every industry, Granger is the right product for you. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by.
Let me keep looking.
Let's take a break.
All right.
Jason Sudeikis is here for crying out loud. Fantastic. Don't you dare move. Ted Lasso in the flesh. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Let's talk about sleep, people. No matter who you are, you want to reach your full potential. And every person and every night are different. When you sleep on a Sleep Number smart bed, though, you are finally harnessing your unique potential every night, no matter what each night brings. Next level people like you need next level sleep. My Sleep Number setting is 60, and my wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but that is the world of difference because we can choose our ideal comfort and support on our side of the bed and change it whenever we like, and it helps us sleep so comfortably. You can see how well you slept, too, the next day, along with personalized insights for even better sleep with your Sleep IQ score. Sleep next level. Unlock your unique potential with a smart bed that can perform as well as you. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. See store for details. Jason Sudeikis here on the Rich Eisen Show.
For different reasons. His old job, and I was just a, you know, student. Am I allowed to swear?
Ish. But anyway.
Shoddy student.
I understood. I got it.
My bad. I should have asked that beforehand.
We just showed a clip, a radio, and it just returned, of you handing out biscuits. Did you see Sean Payton hand out biscuits in his farewell press conference as the coach of the New Orleans Saints? Did you not?
I don't know if I did. I mean, he did that.
He literally handed out.
To the press?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
And he mentioned your show.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that we forget sometimes that folks actually watch the show. That was a thing I felt when I worked at SNL too. You just feel like, okay, we're putting on this little pageant right. for 300 people and for each other each week. And then Sundays people would be like, hey, great show last night. Oh my gosh. So the fact that, you know, people at all ends of the spectrum, you know, have watched the show and reference it. You know, I can't catch them all, but I'm surprised that one.
He did that. Yeah. As a matter of fact, so we have behind up there, we have a Believe sign, if you see it right up there.
Yep.
We had Sean Payton sign that when he was here. And Coach Beard signed it, Brendan Hunt, when he was here on studio weeks ago.
That's great. If you got 15 bucks, I'll sign it for you.
Go. Oh, sure. Would you guys take up a collection for Jason
a big cash guy.
Later on?
And I don't have change. So
Rich,
if you happen to have a 20, that's kind of why I'd make it 15, because no one carries 15.
Yeah, 10 and a 5 or 10 5.
Yeah, these are things.
Well done.
These are things you
very
figure
well done.
Out.
You keep changing.
There's no business. You know, show business.
It was funny. It was about 4, maybe 5 years ago,
yep.
One of the many times you were kind enough to be on this show, we had you. You were on the phone, mm-hmm. and you were just talking about this character, Ted Lasso,
sure.
and, you know, it's an NBC sports concept that for a promo, mm-hmm. and you make a TV show out of it.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Any idea at all? This is what it would possibly be in the realm of becoming Ted Lasso.
Not at all. Not in wildest dreams. I've very ignorantly or intelligently never worried about the destination, you know, of anything that I've been involved in creatively or probably even scholastically or romantically. Because I think if you know how things are going to end, even if it's something like your wildest dreams, like this, the reaction to this show, I don't know if you'd go about it the same way. So it's, yeah, I mean, the show is everything that I would hope it would be, and the caliber of people we have working behind the camera and in front of the camera and in every realm has been absolutely something that I would have been able to manifest or at least imagine. Right. But the reaction to it, no way, Jose.
For it to be born out of, again, just when was the first time you put on the lasso gear? Like, when was when did that happen?
That would have been August 2013. Yeah.
Damn.
No, it, like we did, Brendan and Joe and I did those commercials, in 2013.
Yeah.
And by my math, Otis was also, my son, was conceived that same week. So that was a heck of a week. I was in a real creative space. And look, to my credit, I was smart enough to be around, both these things with incredible people. You know, like, you know what I mean? Just good folks. So, shout out to, Brendan, Joe, and Olivia. So I wouldn't have Ted Lasso or Otis Sudeikis without it.
Big week for you.
And
the Sudeikis family. And so.
From both heads. Can I say that?
That's fine.
Yeah, I think that's passable. I think that's good.
Yeah.
And very creative, I might say.
Well, it's just I'm anatomy.
A plus.
I don't know. Again, I'd argue it's right maybe up there with your fart scent, but all right.
Oh my gosh. It's a beautiful show, man.
Thank you.
It is just beautiful. The number of times where my wife and I, when the credits roll, and we look at each other and go, that was incredible. Wow. Just, it really is beautiful with a huge heart. How do you remain consistent on that front for you and the crew together
I think we try to come from that space every time, anytime and every time. Like, it's from the get-go, that's always been what it was. Not the commercial necessarily, but certainly by the second commercial, I think that's where it always came from, was like this space of gee whiz, and... I don't think we're inventing anything, and I'm not saying anybody's accusing us or endowing us with that, but we are just sort of going back to this place again of what would be the best, would be the choice here. What is the, because I understand and have always appreciated and always responded to the wish fulfillment of getting back at people, of retribution of, the good guys losing or the bad guys losing, excuse me, at the good guys, sword or lightsaber, or, wit. But it's also just kind of interesting to see, like, if you don't have that opportunity to do that, if you don't have a cape, if you don't have, good, writers right there offset in the real life,
right,
that maybe fall in your heart and, trying to see the best of a situation, even if it's not the outcome that you want, there might be strength in that too, heroics in that. So we're just sort of messing around with that.
We talked to Brendan Hunt the other day, who plays Coach Beard, about casting Brett Goldstein as Roy Kent.
Yeah.
How did you, land on Hannah Waddingham as the coach, the owner of the team? When did you cast her or find?
Well, I mean, that's one of those beautiful things that the universe was just kind of looking out for this show and continues to on a minute by minute basis. We had. A couple people in mind, Big Fish, and to have someone like Apple, because they're not just in the TV show business. They have a whole side gig that does considerably.
Yeah, I've got a phone right here.
Yeah, exactly. That's
for instance,
one of them.
Yeah, this computer.
They own parking lots here in LA.
Yeah,
they do very well. And so, they'd be willing to, if we could get a big fish, on the line to probably, pay them enough and make things interesting enough for them. Unfortunately, no one cared about us or knew what we were doing. And a lot of folks were also already busy. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't get one of those quote unquote big fish. And then we opened it up to auditions. And we only went to like two or three people for those offers initially. And then we had, anywhere between, 10 to 20 women, audition. And there was some that were just absolutely fantastic. And Brennan and I went to go do chemistry reads with them in London, and came back, pretty confident in some people. And then our writer's room was filled with our producers as well. Didn't respond in the same realm, because sometimes when you're in the room with someone, it's a different energy than when you're watching them, on television and the way things come across. And just kind of with Brendan and I's background of improvisation, you kind of like are just in a very supportive mood when you're in the room and on stage with someone, in a scene with someone. So then it was like a nice little dish of humble pie. Not that we were arrogant about who we thought, our top three choices, but then nobody really responded. So then our friend, a dear friend that you mentioned earlier, Brendan, was chatting about something totally different to this fellow of our that we know, a buddy of ours named Todd Stashwick, mm-hmm. who also did Second City back in the day. But I forget how he and Brendan knew each other. They're talking about something else. How are things going? Oh, doing the show, trying to find the part for this, you know, for this character. Oh, what's she like? Brendan gives like a 2-line description, and he just goes, "Hannah Waddingham." Excuse me, Hannah Waddingham. Like,
right?
What is that? He goes, "That's who you want to play this part." And it was kind of like, okay. So then we, you know, look it up, you know, and her name's as tricky to spell as my last name. Right. So, you know, we're diligent about that and looked her up and was like, wow, you know, I mean, she definitely looks the part. She doesn't when she was the shame, you know,
exactly.
gal.
Exactly. By the way, when this show yeah. hit and it's just like, wait a minute, she was the shame nun yeah. from Game of Thrones.
I know, yeah. Spectre. You know, in that,
you know,
in that get up, you yeah. know, like, you know, not a drip of makeup or at least anything that was there was done to probably knock down, you know,
right.
You know, her natural charms. And we, and so then she auditioned. Then, I mean, I can't remember how quick it was after that, but she's now in LA, you know, jet lagged as hell doing we do a chemistry read, like where we read just like we had done with the women, in London. And it was just evident to me. I mean, sort of the second I saw her, I mean, I've said this before in the press, like it was like sort of seeing something that was only in my head in real life,
right.
You know, like and you're meeting and shaking hands, just being like, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. And then our conversations before the audition, during the audition, like during giving like little feedback, mm-hmm. and then post audition, only you know cemented that notion. And then it went up the chains at Apple, went up the chains at Warner Brothers. A fellow named Peter Roth, who was in charge of you know Warner Brothers Television at that time, was like, I love her, you know, like a guy that had done so many shows, just immediately snapped her, and that I know that really really helped. But for me, it was. It was right from there. It was just off we went. It's like, okay, great. Rebecca, done.
She's fantastic.
She really is. I mean, and she's always been fantastic. And, it, you know, it's one of those neat things where sometimes the right thing shows up at the right time and you're ready for it and they're ready for you. And off we went. Yeah, so far, so good.
Jason Sudeikis is here on The Rich Eisen Show. Again, Ted Lasso, season 3 is up and running right now every single week. You can watch it right here on Roku through Apple TV Plus. Here on The Rich Eisen Show. We have a segment called Celebrity True or False, if you right. wouldn't mind playing this. This True. Is about your film and TVography and things of that nature that's out there on the internet. We need to know if it's true or false.
I got it. Yeah, I can help it.
We even have terrific production value. Hit it, please.
Can't wait to see this.
There you go.
Well, look at that.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
There you go.
Yeah.
Somewhat timely with Jack Nicholson back at Lakers games right
yes,
now.
Yes, okay. Indeed.
True or false, Jason Sudeikis, you once auditioned for a role in the Blue Man Group. Is that true or false?
True. Very true.
When and times. Where? What do you got for
I
me?
I was living in Las Vegas, and I was doing Second City at the Flamingo there, and there were a couple different shows at that time that were non, like, you know, Topless Showgirls or yes. Magic or Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil, it was us. A show called De La Guarda and then Blue Man Group. And I had always loved the drums. I first moved to Chicago as one of the first auditions I went to. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not a good enough drummer. Like, I can kind of, you know, fake it on a drum kit. But those, you have to have, like, actual, like, you know, like rudiments, like yes. drumline type chops.
Uh-huh.
And I became friends with a few of the Blue Men. We all did. You know, we'd set up Second City there. They'd taken classes. So then I just started going to the show, and I just fell in love with it. I loved the philosophy behind it. I loved the way they were running the business of their show. And it was like, it probably felt like subconsciously the only way I'd ever have the chance to live out, like, you know, a rock and roll dream, even if it was going to be bald, blue, anonymous and silent, like if that's what it takes to do it. And I auditioned, like, I remember August of 2001, right before September 11th. And I was in New York, and it was supposed to be, it was a process that was either going to take 3 days, 5 days or 2 weeks. 3 days, you know, there's a cutoff for like saying thank you for coming, but we, you know, yeah. we no longer, you know, your time with us has ended. I got past the 3 days, and then day 5 is when I got booted. I got to see myself bald and blue.
I was about to ask, how long does it take to put the paint on?
Golly,
Jason, that's
I can't
a process.
Quite remember at this point. It was a while ago, but. Certainly longer than it takes to get dressed up as Joe Biden on SNL. But that's also because those people at SNL are like, yes. you know, Wizzos and like a NASCAR pit crew mm-hmm. that they'd make you, you know, turn you into someone like, you know, the president in a commercial break. But yeah, it was a lot. And I did find, similar to, you know, Tobias Funk on Arrested Development,
yes.
I did find a lot of blue in weird places for, like, you know, at least a week after that. My friends in the show would find blue, like, they would come out in their eyes, you know, their eye boogers would be blue. I want to check in on all of them probably in about 7 more years here to make sure that cobalt blue, you know, was safe. Because we'll have a better idea about that.
When you
enough.
Met the real Biden recently, yeah. Did he bring up your imitation?
Yes, he hates it. He's lovely about it. We had met once before when I played him as the vice president, not at the White House by any means, but and he was always nice about it. My dad met him during stump speech in 2008. Mm-hmm. I think he was in where was he? Maybe in. Somewhere in Kansas City, like Lee's Summit or something like that. Yeah. And my dad afterwards stayed around to shake hands and say hello. He's like, yeah, you know, my son is Jason today because he plays you on Saturday Night Live. And he goes, well, you know, he was like, how about that? Let's get a picture. You know,
like, you know, okay.
Yeah, sure. My dad had a flip phone at that point. Nice. Because I didn't want to just buy him everything he wanted right off the bat.
Sure.
Once I got a big fancy TV job, I had to like dole it out.
Well, I mean, yeah. Apple, I'm sure he now has an upgrade of some sort.
No, you keep him hungry, keep him humble.
Yeah.
Even in retirement. No, he does have an iPhone. He has an iPhone, okay. Bluetooth, right to some hearing aids.
Okay.
It's, yeah, when we can't hear the TV, we know Dad is hearing it better than any of us.
Jason Sudeikis, celebrity true or false. Next one for you. Your initial audition at SNL was interrupted by Chris Rock, who barged into the studio, did a 10-minute stand-up set in front of the NBC executives, and essentially stole your thunder.
Ah, not quite. Not 100%. We were, the first time I auditioned for SNL was at a place called Stand Up New York, mm-hmm. on the Upper West Side, a stand-up club.
Yes.
And, you know, knowing what I know now about, I'd say 50% of the audience was folks that worked at SNL, but behind the scenes, mm-hmm. the rest were just regular folks coming to see, a stand-up show, like an evening of stand-up. And then in the back wall, there was Tina Fey and Lorne Michaels and Steve Higgins and Mike Shoemaker. Tina, I knew Lorne, I knew what he looked like. You know, Steve, yes. and Mike, who were producers of the show, didn't know. But then, it's 12 of us. I'm slotted like 7 right before going up.
Yes.
I'm outside chatting. That's where Rob Riggle and I met. Rob Riggle from, at the Big Slick. Slick. Also, yep. we grew up 5 minutes away from each other. Had never met. I'd never heard of his name, even
Get
though we are never. He went to Shumish in the South. I grew up in South District. So, like, that's really one of the most important things for me that came out of that opportunity to audition for the show. I mean, getting the show, yes, is wonderful, but getting to meet Rob and what a kind guy he is. And just like, he was like, wait, where did you grow? Like, were you talking about Kansas City? Yeah. Are you from Kansas City? Yeah. So are you. Where? Overland Park. Where? We got down to like cross streets, like 98th and Lowell. He's like, I'm 95th and Lowell. I forget exactly where he grew up, but, and yeah, so we have that. So then here you go. You got these two Kansas boys, getting to do this thing, taking this very different routes. You know, I went through college basketball. He was in the Marines, very different.
Blue Man Group.
Exactly.
The Marines.
Blue Man Group. Exactly. Yeah. We both did Blue Man Group. No, but, so then, I'm about to go up, and sure enough, about one while the person up before me is up on stage, in walks Chris and Jeffrey Ross, and I just think, oh, maybe they're coming to see, like, they hear, they know there's auditions, and just like the communal, like, sort of fraternal element family of SNL, like, oh, they're just coming to see what's what. And then lo and behold, I he's talking to the guy who's hosting. Absolutely, yeah, sure, man. And and I'm standing there off stage, like outside the room, but like, hearing the fella going before, like doing well and whatnot. And Chris is like standing next to me, and I slowly sniff out like, oh, he's about to go up and perform. Now you hear about, Chappelle dropping in or Jim Carrey dropping in, that if Chris Rock wants to go up there and do 2 hours, I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to be mad about it. Right. No one in the crowd is going to be mad about it.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, oh my God, Chris Rock showed up out of nowhere. And he he's, ladies and gentlemen, the next performer, he needs no introduction, but here it is. Put your hands together for Chris Rock. And he looks at me and he goes, is this your big shot? I was like, kind of. He goes, sorry, man. Then he goes out there, but like in a lovely way, as a former point guard and athlete, I like a shooting guard's confidence like that, or a wide receiver. And he goes up. Luckily, he only did 10 minutes. He didn't do, his full thing. They were working on jokes for the MTV movie. He was getting ready to host a movie awards special or on MTV when they, whatever award show thing. Mm-hmm. And then what was lovely is he comes off stage. He looks at me and I was like, joking around, I don't know. I've never met him. Thanks for setting him up for me. He goes, hey man, they love original thought. I was like, cool. And he's talking about the show. Right. He's talking about Lauren. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your next act, Jason Sudeikis. I go up there.
Sudeikis.
Sudeikis, however they want to call it. Hey, my name's Jason Sudeikis. I don't mention Chris or do any jokes, about that, because it kind of was just in the room and just play off that energy. And
right.
That was it. So he didn't barge in to the studio or anything. He was very gracious about it. Him sharing with me that notion of they love original thought is, you know, nothing that he said that before I read that, like in like the Live from New York book. But the fact that I got it in that moment, not that I could adjust anything at that point.
Sure.
But it has been a certainly thing that I've encouraged myself and people at SNL to follow that advice. Or at least that notion, because it is true.
So then let's get to how you, because you did get a writing gig, and then you true or false, this is how you became a cast member. You co-wrote a sketch behind the music, the Chicago Bears Super Bowl Shuffle, for the host named Tom Brady. There you are with him up on the screen.
Yeah.
He played Jim McMahon. You were a backup bear. And
I was Kevin Butler.
You were Kevin Butler?
I was Kevin Butler.
Okay, you're Kevin Butler. Yep. Pardon me.
Yep. That's why I'm wearing the hat. If you go to the original, the source material, you'll see that Kevin Butler is wearing the white fedora and the shades.
I like the source material. Yep. Very good. And,
the IP.
And so your performance as Kevin Butler, which
Thank
makes
you.
This even better, yep. is what earned you a role as a cast member.
It felt like the straw that broke the camel's back, not to refer to Lauren as a camel or to make him appear feeble in any ways, but it was incredibly instrumental in that decision. It had sort of been bandied around about, you know, I had auditioned at that point for the show twice, Weekend Update once. All these auditions had gone well at this point. To get to write on that show is a tremendous opportunity. And it's one that the people that write the show and that pay for the show should pay the writers to do and make a living wage at. That said, getting off my soapbox.
Nice. It is that time.
It is that time. That time of season. I made a bold move of which I'm not. It's not in me to try to upstage a situation, but it's just this weird conflation of events. Beck was the musical guest. Beck had a guy next to him when he was doing his stuff, just kind of like dancing, like hype dancing, like just like in like a flight suit. And it really made us laugh. And Beck's like just a very funny, like, you know, clever boy who's also a very clever, funny, you know, yes. like creative man. And so he just has this guy dancing to him. And we were watching it during like, you know, rehearsals being like Beck's killing it. But this dude is a piece of work. I love it. And so then it came time for us to rehearse the sketch and the whole, like any, like, you know, most sketches, you know, it has, you know, a bunch of like three or four different beats. The first one being the original Super Bowl Shuffle. And then Jim McMahon and the Bears want to do a second version. So they change the lyrics and then he wants to go solo. So then it's just, you know, Tom Brady and I on stage. And so I'm like, well, I'll dance like to make like the writer friends laugh. I'll dance and I'll do like this old school hip hop dancing like I used to do on my AAU basketball team or just to like make my teammates laugh. And it's working. And when you look at the clip of itself, you have like 25 to 30 extras, you know. And look, this sketch was written by me and three other Chicago, you know, people that came through Chicago, John Lutz, Rich Tellerico, and Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly, one of the co-creators of Ted Lasso. And we, and so now you have these 30 dudes because they were all on stage, just off stage, watching this sketch. Like, and we're all around the same age, you know, black dudes, white dudes, you know, like just a beautiful Benetton ad of inclusion and humanity. All male, but you know, they were the Bears, the 85, 86 Bears. And so I started doing this dancing and they're all cracking up. Just like back in like when I was 15. Like, I mean, it felt so familiar to me that I just then was just playing into it and just giving over to it and being a ham. Like, you know what I mean? And I swear to God, man, I watched our boss, Lauren Michaels, come walk in, look at what's going on. And then walk right out. Now that can mean anything, you know. That can mean we need Jason out of here, or that can mean what it ended up meaning a couple weeks later, which was, you know, we'd love to put you in the cast. You know, just write anything you feel like you can score on.
Yes,
and that was it. Because I know when he was watching, you know, it happened on a Friday night, and I know the conversation was like that should be a cast member's part. Like it's become a little bit of a spotlight part. And then Tina, from what I had heard, was like, okay, well then, what cast member are you going to put in there? You know, who's going to get those laughs? And everybody's like, I don't know. You know, do we know anybody that does that kind of dancing and dances like that? And like, is that goofy and silly? Like, I don't know. He's like, he's already getting these laughs. You could hear it in the dresser, in the rehearsal. And Lauren's like, yeah, just let him do it. And so then at dress rehearsal on Saturday, the next thing, I'm dancing around like that. And he evidently looked at the screen and just goes, Dan Aykroyd, you know, referring to like the way Dan Aykroyd could move as the Blues Brothers. And I think that just kind of like, made a switch in his head that, and I'm thankful for Joe, Rich, Tom Brady, you know, Lutz, Tina, you know, like I mean, it's just a weird thing that happens. You never know.
So you're like one. You're just like 23 years of NFL players. Tom Brady helped lead to a big break for you.
Exactly.
And yep. But you're the only individual on planet Earth with a subset of Tom Brady and Kevin Butler leading to.
Yeah,
that
without
big break.
Without Kevin Butler, without whoever wrote the Super Bowl Shuffle, that's who it really.
That's who it is.
That's who it is.
That's who it is.
Yeah.
And then so just one last thing on that.
Yeah.
Lorne Michaels really sounds like Dr. Evil. Like he really does.
I mean,
like that is inappropriate.
You know, I mean,
that's what the idea. That's who Mike Myers.
With my understanding of how time works.
Yes.
Dr. Evil sounds like Lorne Michaels. But yes,
I love it.
There are some similarities there from what I understand.
I love it. Can we just take a quick break and then finish the hour with you, Jason? Is that
cool?
Let's do that.
Yeah,
let's just take a quick break. Jason Sudeikis is here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take it to the top of the hour. Les Snead of the Rams and then John Schneider of the Seahawks. We're back with Jason Sudeikis in studio in a second.
The boys of summer are playing on the Believe podcast.
A product of baseball is much more watchable.
Get your baseball fix from podcasts like Wake and Rake, Farm to Show, and Ring the Bell.
He's not really hitting balls through the screws.
Plus, local podcasts like Believe in Astros and Believe in the Bronx.
You're going to have to get some more innings out of the rotation.
Just search BLEAV podcast wherever you listen.
Jason Sudeikis is still here. So you were back to Thanksgiving.
We were back in KC. I was there with the kids and I had, you know, a couple of my friends, Billy and Terry, brought our kids. Mm-hmm. Got to go down onto the field, you know, Travis and Patrick who you know, participated in Big Slick and Thunder Gong, these two charity events we do back home. They came over to say hi and yeah, Travis was just game from the jump. It was so nice to all the young fellas in the locker room, which could be a very, you know, frightening thing for an 8, 9, 10 year old boy.
Yes.
You can change your perspective on a lot of things.
Yes.
Yeah. And Kelsey just made, you know, just was a human being. Yeah, they all were.
So
you know,
is Mahomes.
Told.
So
yeah, absolutely.
All of them. No doubt about it.
I mean, you know, Coach Reed, his wife, the Hunts, they were all, everybody was top notch. It made Otis and Daisy look like absolute superstars to their young Kansas cousins, as we call them.
I love it.
It's like, when are they coming back in town?
I love it.
Yeah.
So let's talk Big Slick a little bit here. This is year 10, 11 for you guys,
No, it might be like 12 or 13. 12?
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
I've unfortunately missed the last two.
Because you've been shooting 10.
Yeah, we've been, it's overlapped.
Right, and it's a wild weekend.
Yeah.
It is a lot of fun for those who attend, but the ultimate win is obviously for Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City for the kids. And I will never forget the first time that I went where, you know, Riggle, the first night, everybody's there. Lots of revelry, and then he'll just stand there and point to his watch and go, you guys all need to get some sleep because we're going to the hospital in the morning.
That's right.
And that's the beautiful part about this is that everybody goes to the hospital and meets these kids and the families.
And the families and the doctors and the nurses and the staff. No, it's literally a place where miracles happen.
Yes.
And they're at the forefront of technology. I mean, in all aspects, it covers, a 5-state area. It's a truly remarkable place. And that became a big thing for us because the first couple of years it was kind of like, hey, you can go to the hospital if you can. But people were getting after it. And that's when we had like a poker tournament. That's why it's called Big Slick.
Yeah.
You know, but then we, more money, more problems. As we got bigger, the gaming commission was like, hey, you can't do this anymore. It's all right, fine. We'll make it bowling.
I've been to both.
And I appreciate, the rules and all that. That doesn't mean there still isn't poker happening in the hotel rooms later in the evening. But gosh dang, man, we made sure everybody went to that hospital. It's like, you got to go to that hospital and see what's what.
No doubt.
It changes the level of fun you have. Like if you laughing, crying, sleeping, if you can do those as consistently as anything, those are true medicines that are in all of us that we share with one another. If you have the opportunity and going to a hospital visit, you get to do, at least those first two, laughing and crying sometimes in the same moment. And the families, the things that they go through, and you see the siblings of these kids that were born into a situation, unfortunate situation, but they don't know that. They don't know it. They only know that's their only reality. And you see those kids dealing with that and the people around them who do know. And even before being a parent, it was one of the most moving, weekends of my life. And it's a bummer to miss. I'm glad we could extend, you know, some auction items to help that thing.
Yeah.
But again,
slickkc.org. If I'm not mistaken, did you give away a cameo on?
We gave away two. Yeah. Yeah. And people stepped up. Yeah. They have, because it happened later in the year. So those cameos show up in, is it 10 next week?
Coming up?
10, yeah. 10 and 12. Yeah.
So somebody who donated to Big Slick.
Yeah.
In KC.
Yeah.
Will appear on a Ted Lasso.
In episode 10 and episode 12. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't wait. All right. Well, so keep an eye out for all of that.
I don't know if folks will be able to sniff them out. I mean,
we'll try.
I've been looking this whole season because I was there last year. Oh, you're there?
Okay, great. Yeah.
When is this happening? Yeah. So I've been just trying to, they don't look like a real actor. Okay, who's this? I was just trying to guess.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Well, don't do that. Otherwise, you'd think it was me. It was me the whole time.
No,
hey, come on
now. In the 2 minutes I have left, the million-dollar question, is this the end of Ted Lasso or what?
I mean, I really, I've always said, I've always meant what I said, where it's like, this was the story we wanted to tell, right. You know? And I mean, that would be evident when episode 12 is out and available. So it feels a little silly to keep, you know, going back to it. But again, not anticipating or ever expecting or imagining people's reaction or response to it. Also, with the process of making it being such a joyful one and one that we really, you know, bust our buns at doing, and yet it still is very fulfilling, and it's not, you know, at least it doesn't feel toxic, you know, to me, that it's like, okay, maybe there's more there, but it has to come from the stories and the characters, and we have to like satisfy these ends here before really having that conversation. It feels a little bit like, you know, talking about next season when you're in the playoffs. It's kind of like, it's, you know,
you
faux pas.
Finish. So is there going to be just a Lasso summit or something?
It'll probably be the same way this whole thing started, with me and Joe and Brendan, you know, sitting in a pool, like, you know, making each other laugh and being like, you know, what do we think? And just sort of staying open to, you know, the universe of things. The business side of things is a whole other complication. Understood. But like, it has to come from the root of like where we'd want the story to go, where we'd want it to go further, how we'd want it to evolve, the character evolution, you know. And we don't need it all fleshed out, but just like a notion of a better why than just 'cause.
You love Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess.
What you did not see is when Raquel arrives and she wants to talk to me, I made her sit in a corner.
Explain.
Sat in a corner booth all by herself in the dark.
Waiting for to talk to you.
Waiting for me to finish dancing to 50 Cent.
It's my birthday.
Sit in a corner.
Give Them Lala wherever you listen.